CliffCentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
This is San Bodani. I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me, once again, Lionel Makokotlela. Welcome, Lionel.
Siyabona, Gary, and dumelang to our listeners of Cliff Central out there.
Good. Today we have a two-part show. First up, we salute a remarkable woman. She's an attorney of the High Court of South Africa. She is attorney Samantha Nkolomba.
Yeah.
How's that pronunciation? Not the best.
Not the best, but I've had worse. Nkolomba.
She's of CSI Boutique. She's also known as Lady Liberty for her desire to secure justice for South Africa's most vulnerable women. Mm. We're going to talk about that in detail a little later. For our second segment, which will come after Samantha, we commemorate HIV World AIDS Day, which falls on Thursday this week, the 1st December.
Indeed, but I think we have made a progress as a country, because today AIDS and HIV is no longer the death sentence that people perceived it to be. Mm-hmm. And as such, I think it's we have really, really made a difference in terms of how we deal with it, how we talk about it. But I hope that, having said that, people will still be protecting themselves, using protection all the time, and test for your HIV.
Absolutely, Lance. This day, World AIDS Day, is an opportunity for everyone in the community to unite in the fight against HIV, and obviously to show support for people living with HIV and remember those who have died.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've really paved the way for some of us today who actually are now in the knowledge of knowing about the disease and actually be able to actually look after ourselves. If something were to happen, let's say, for example, a condom were to burst, one knows that they can actually go and get a PEP. And sometimes you can actually go to the doctor and they would actually advise you otherwise what form of avenues to follow.
Okay, so keep all this info, Lance. We're going to talk about all this in our second segment. We're also going to be talking to a lady from Ermelo in Mpumalanga. She's attorney Senator Thembiso Radebe. She also is fighting against HIV. She is HIV positive, and she achieved her goal, notwithstanding everything, all odds against her, of becoming an attorney. She's very interesting. We'll talk to her later on.
That is such a sweet story. And amazing. I think, yeah, it's very amazing. And I just think, you know, it just shows you that HIV, it's not a blockage. You can still achieve anything you want as long as you put your mind to it. Mm-hmm. You just need to remain positive and go out there and live your life to the fullest.
Our Facebook page, The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg. Our Twitter handle, at Hertzlaw.
Which is HERTZLAW.
Good. We have Samantha. She's Lady Liberty, a great brand. She's astounding, this lady. She's a South African change maker. She's a lawyer. She's a businesswoman. She's a social entrepreneur. And she uses law as a tool to empower African women. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's a goal, Gary. Thank you so much. You made me sound so amazing. I'll take it. And thank you very much. So, yeah, Lady Liberty, you know, that's the plan. So, yeah, I'm interested to just chat through the journey with you.
You said something lovely that I want to quote. These are your words. You said, I hate injustice, and so do I. Seeing people suffer, and with my legal qualification, I decided to focus on issues that I could resolve. Lovely to hear that. So what you've gone and done, you founded Lady Liberty, which is a mobile legal office, mm-hmm. which travels to poor townships.
That's correct.
And you're helping remote communities, or just generally communities, to use the law, and you're helping vulnerable women.
That's correct.
It's a stunning project. I know we have legal aids, and I know we have all this, but this is something special. Talk to us a little more. Where do you go to and how do you get around and that kind of stuff?
Sure. So, yeah, it's interesting to know that you too hate injustice.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are many avenues that I pursued in trying to cure all the social evils that surround us. I mean, literally from someone sleeping under a bridge to someone digging through trash to get their only meal for the day, presumably, to legal injustices. So I had to be realistic and as practical as I can be, and also hope that other people with different skill sets and talents that I don't have would also pick up the pieces in the spaces that they can. So Lady Liberty just seeks to address, rather not address, but to bridge the gap between the desperate, desperate need for legal services that we find on the ground and the legal skill, the tremendous, amazing legal skill that we have as a country. The two are just not meeting.
Can I talk to you about your background? Are you from, if I may ask, privileged background? Are you from an impoverished background? Where do you come from?
You know, this matter of privilege, it's funny you say this. Yeah. I was just thinking about it the other day. Automatically, because I'm black, one would tend to expect that I'd say, oh, no, I'm not privileged. But I've been challenged with certain issues that have faced me, and it's made me realize that to a very large extent, I am privileged. I'll give you a typical example. They're currently a project that wants to work with us. They focus on providing sanitary towels to young girls, and they're these reusable, washable sanitary towels. So off the bat, my thought is, no way, who would want to use such a product? Because, you know, why aren't we rather fighting the giants that provide these products to give access to the exact same ones that we use to the young girls in townships and rural areas? And that, to a large extent, I had to realize comes from a place of privilege. Because they are targeting young girls who are using ash and socks and whatever they can find for their menstrual cycle. So it's a little challenging for me to answer, but I think I can safely say I come from a slightly privileged background. So I went to a private school, all girls, convent. We had mass, I think, every Wednesday or Thursday. I was a prefect. I was a bit of a super achiever. Yeah. Had the cream blazer.
You can see this, lads.
No, I don't know how you two can see this, but yeah, so, you know, life was great. Played sports. I was actually a deputy head girl, if I'm not mistaken. I think the first black one in my high school. I was a prefect. I mean, I could go on. I was driving at the age of 16. I could use my mom's car to go to school. So from that description alone, I think I would fall under the description of privilege. But I have to add, I grew up in Zimbabwe, and the conditions there are slightly different from what I'm experiencing in South Africa as a whole. Of course, the gaps are growing slightly narrower for some in terms of the privilege gap. So I think I grew up from a slightly privileged background, but I was always very aware of issues that surrounded me. So, I mean, even as you were just talking about HIV and AIDS, I lost an aunt to that. And I experienced her frustrations of going to clinics. Sometimes there's medication, sometimes there isn't, queues and that sort of thing. I experienced relatives going through domestic abuse, uncles even, who were perpetrators, who would abuse someone, and I would find myself just always questioning, why does it seem like African women, I suppose of all races, but mostly black, because when you look at privileged and wealth, I suppose, poverty really seems to be attached mostly to black people. So I always ask myself, why is it that African women especially just seem to be so burdened, if it's not culture expecting her to just stay in the kitchen, cook, have babies, not pursue her dreams and her goals? It always bothered me. So I grew up very aware that I am very blessed to many large extents, but I'm surrounded by lots of people who aren't. And I've always felt challenged to make a difference somewhat. I just didn't know how until recently, when I then tied the knots together and Lady Liberty was born.
You don't have to do all this very difficult work of going into townships. You could sit in an ivory tower like we all do.
Don't tempt me, Gary.
Yeah, I think you did your articles with one of the big five, didn't you?
No, I only joined the big five after my articles. Okay. Yeah, so I did my articles at DSC Attorneys in Cape Town.
Yeah.
And then I joined Bowman for about a year after that, but also studying in Cape Town.
Bowman Gilfillan.
Yeah,
how was
great
that experience
market
for you?
How did you
relate to this big law firm?
It was a bit challenging, I won't lie. First of all, I've
You're
always
a bit of
known,
a maverick, aren't you?
Slightly, yeah. If that's the word we'll use, let's use that.
Okay.
I think I struggle a little bit with structure. Not that I'm opposed to it, or I hate it, or I look for rules to break, but I just feel that we have created so many systems and things that keep us all bound, and yet I don't think we're really designed to be or live that way. So even in that space, you know, I've always known I'm not meant to sit behind a desk all day. I'll lose my marbles. So I knew I had to balance people interaction.
You want to help people.
I want to touch people, both figuratively and literally.
You've said the following. You said out of every 10 women in South Africa, so many of them, I don't know the stats, live in abject poverty.
Yeah.
They're vulnerable and they're in abusive situations, which is very, very sad. Now, we right now, in the 16 days of activism, you know, talk to us about what's going on in the townships. There's abuse, as we know, gender abuse. What's happening out
there? It's so crazy. The reality is... I can't even really explain it. To a large extent, you have to see some of the things to believe it. So we were in Yeovil a couple of months ago, and one of my team members was distributing flyers, you know, to let women know that, you know, we have a roadshow, come to the center, this is what we're going to assist you with. And one of the men, sister, comes back to me slightly traumatized, and I'm like, well, you know, what happened? And she says one of her husbands literally tore the flyer in her face and said to her, yeah, you know, human rights, women's rights, Schmansky, you know, you guys can come here, parade, and say all these lovely things, but when you leave, my wife knows that in my culture, if she doesn't do what she's expected to do or what's required of her to do, I will assault her. Mm. And unfortunately, most women take that because there is the belief that I haven't done my duties as a wife, therefore I almost sort of deserve to be disciplined in a way. So it's very hard to tackle just the legal aspect of the issues that we're faced with because psychologically we're in trouble. Psychologically, we're all sitting in little corners and caves and things that we believe, which ultimately affects everything else. So, for instance, there's a woman who called us, and her husband was a police officer. And I can't forget this woman. I've probably mentioned in almost every interview I've had. And she wanted us to assist her to get a divorce because now this man's abusive and she needs to leave. But this man's a police officer. So automatically, we all know that means he has a licensed rifle, firearm at home. And he had said to her, you're not going anywhere, you're my wife, and to a large extent slightly territorial and a bit possessive over it, like she's a piece of property. And like when I said till death do us part, it's exactly what I meant, even if it means I kill you. So automatically my first thoughts were, I can't then say, yeah, it's 2016, know your rights, 16 days, you know what to do, get out girl. It's not practical.
Yeah.
Because if she does get shot, that's on me. So I had to say to her, look, we have to first get you out, get you to a place of safety, only then can we tackle the legal issues. So on the ground, it's a huge shocker. It's a serious, serious shocker that sometimes I also get back, taken aback, even after I've done a course, like a counseling course to deal with, you know, the emotional and psychological elements. I've had to step back and sort me out. Then I replenish and then I can go out again.
Let's talk about some of the great laws we have in place and whether they are effectively dealt with. Talk of the Domestic Violence Act, Harassment Act, Children's Act. These are great pieces of legislation. The question is, are they effectively being carried out in townships or wherever? I mean, are people getting what they need?
No, they're not. No. And the first problem that we have is, you're absolutely right, I love the law. Mm. I love reading pieces of legislation, finding gaps, or even finding ways of maneuvering and best implementing it on the ground. But what you find is that, first of all, the people that these laws are meant to protect don't even know about them, first of all, number one.
Absolutely.
Secondly, even if they do know that there's a thing called a protection order, they don't know what their rights and responsibilities are, because I'm very big on saying, let's not all sit and say, am I right to this, am I right to that? You need to know that you have responsibilities that come with those rights. So people don't know their rights. That's the second thing. So if someone doesn't know what rights they have, someone doesn't know what laws are out there floating just above them and what laws can protect them, then it means on a day-to-day basis, she continues to live in terrible situations, whether she's being abused by relatives. So for example, Domestic Violence Act protects relationships as long as you can establish a domestic relationship, doesn't need to be a partner. But people don't really know that if you're being assaulted, let's say by an uncle that you live with, that constitutes domestic violence to a large extent. You can get a protection order against him.
And so, you can get a warrant of arrest
issued at the same time.
People don't know that either.
They don't know that. Then they sit with these protection orders, something happens, the police show up, if there's no warrant of arrest, and say, oh, come to the station, file a separate claim or report or whatever it is, it's now assault. So the problem is people don't know about it.
So when you arrive, you like a bit of a godsend. People say, thank you for this. You're telling us stuff. Am I right?
I'm starting to feel a little bit like a fraud because... So the idea was to get there, and first of all, I was very naive. I just thought like a lawyer. I get there and explain what the Domestic Violence Act is, what it says, and this is what you do in this situation. Goodbye. Thanks for coming. Mm. But you sit there. First of all, someone can't even explain their case to you because they're so traumatized. If she's not just stumped for words, she's crying. So now you must sit through 30 minutes where 20 minutes of that 30, someone is traumatized and crying. So you need to resolve that, number one. Number two, you give people hope. This is what I feel now. I give people hope and say, hey, from what you're telling me, this is what the law says. Mm-hmm. This is what you can do, and this is how we can achieve it. And then someone lights up. Sometimes, I promise, you can tangibly feel their burdens almost lift off. And sometimes they express to you that you've literally saved me just from information. We haven't even started the court process, just mere information. And only for us to then proceed on the, we're still on the ground. Here are our details. Contact us. Fill in this form. This is what we need to do for you. Then they come back during the week and contact me. But here's Sam sitting in an office with no attorneys, struggling to get attorneys to give us their pro bono hours, or can't even necessarily get the Department of Justice to reach out.
Do you work with legal aid at all?
I don't, not at all. So what we wanted to
do. So you work with pro bono attorneys mainly?
Oh, we've tried that. Oh,
they also, everyone's just overloaded. And
yeah. Well,
what's the answer? I mean, how do we?
I don't know. Honestly, right now, I'm open to suggestions. Mm. So I'm starting to feel like I'm giving people hope, telling them this is what we can do. They come back to me. Then I'm like, oops, you know, don't have enough legal resource. So why am I going out?
Yeah.
Why am I going out? I think we need to start challenging ourselves and saying in the spaces that we're in. So if someone is an HR manager or their CSI, it's one thing for all of us to sit and say, oh, this country is going down to the dogs. What are we going to do? Let's all move or whatever it is. But how many of those people, this is just a genuine and sincere challenge to people out there to say, in as much as I'm sitting here complaining, what is it in my sphere of influence that I can do to make a difference? So when Samantha from Lady Liberty calls and says, hey, you're this big law firm, I know you're bound to provide pro bono hours to communities, I'm going to the communities, I'll take care of all the admin, I'll provide a shuttle, we'll have snacks and stationery for the day, I just literally need your legal expertise, come with me. If HR doesn't bother, or the pro bono director doesn't bother to act on that, already we're stuck. So it would just be so much better if we all could honestly introspect and say, from where I'm sitting right now, literally from where you're sitting, this is an amazing platform because you're saying, come, let's talk about these issues. That's one step. Someone might be listening and then they have ideas. So the challenge, I think, is for all of us to just honestly sit and say, what can I do? It doesn't have to be money all the time. From my time, my skill, you know, things I'm about to throw away, you know, all sorts of disasters.
Is it about
all
people?
Need to come together.
A shortage of people?
No, it's just a
people,
shortage.
When I say people, legal people?
No way.
No. It's not the law society that could maybe put people,
you know,
suggest candidate attorneys join you for the day, something like that.
It's so hard to explain, but you know, I'm at Cliff Central, so I think I'm safe to speak my mind,
just
right?
Yeah.
So I can be honest.
Yeah.
We don't have a shortage of people. We don't have a shortage of legal minds or legal skills. What we have is a lack of empathy towards one another. We have all become
selfish?
Not, I suppose we're all born selfish. Mm. Although some of us, and actually we're all like, I'm number one, you know, we focus on ourselves. And I suppose, you know, that's human beings by nature. But we've all lost that element of shock. So when you see someone in a shack, or you see a young girl walking to school, or walking to find a toilet, or you hear of another rape case, or you hear of another woman who's been murdered by their partner, it doesn't move us anymore. It doesn't shock us anymore. It's become natural. It's become normal. So we then just go on our days, you know, pop into Woolies, get a salad, go home, watch DSTV, and almost just forget. Mm. Lock our gates.
Live in your cocoon.
Just live in our little cocoons. Mm. So we don't have a shortage of people. We don't have enough vavavum, lack of a better word, to just do something.
What do you say, Lance? There's merit in this. Very
no, there
sad
is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, disclaimer, I know Samantha and I'm actually working with her in this whole Lady Liberty.
Yeah.
And what is she's actually saying? It's actually true, because in most cases, I actually had to leave the whole profession of being a debt counselor just to actually offer my services free of charge by actually going to radio broadcasting so that I can spread the word. But right now, when you actually go to the ground, because last week Friday, we actually went to Orange Farm.
We went Orange Farm.
And the work that they do is amazing. The stories that these women tell you, it's quite shocking. And the economic abuse that these women experience, it's just indescribable, because here is this woman who was actually relying on her husband to support, but now all of a sudden, because they had a disagreement, he can pull away financially and try to really abuse her.
Yeah. So
you do play yourself down, Samantha. I think you've been nominated for two awards. One of them is a legal aid program from the US, I think, has nominated you.
Yeah.
And then you were nominated also for Pollination Project Visionary Award.
Award. Yeah, yeah, you know.
I mean, that's something, that's good stuff. At least you're doing more than most are doing. I mean, you play yourself down and you say you're living in a cocoon, but you are indeed getting into the townships and you are offering help. There was one woman who looked you in the eyes.
Oh, I'll never forget her.
And she said to you, Kululo Muyaiwam.
Yes, do you know why that's so special? Very close, yes. Gary. Yeah. Very, very close. Okay. And actually does make sense.
Yeah. What does it mean? What
so did it she means mean? You've released my spirit.
What did she mean by that?
So what had happened is I had a day full of consultations. I was going to speak to 13 women. And this was when I was working in partnership with a clothing bank in Cape Town. So they had realized that they are helping their women with their skills, but the same women have legal challenges and vice versa. Sometimes my women have legal challenges, but they don't have ways of generating their own income. So it seemed like, you know, an amazing partnership, which it actually still is. So I had 13 women. I think she's like number 7. So at this point, I'm hungry. I haven't stopped. No, this is just being honest. Mm. I'm hungry. I'm exhausted. We've wiped some tears. We've taken some breaks. I've had to bring myself toward myself, remember why I'm here, try not to cry myself. And it was a rough week where you're getting rejection after rejection. People aren't even taking your calls. No one's just bothered. And I was thinking, Sam, what are you doing? You could fix up your CV. That's why I said, don't tempt me, because the thought has crossed my mind. Fix your CV and put it in, and also just live a normal life, or whatever normal means. Get a salary at the end of the month, go home, get a debt here, debt or two, and just live like everybody else's. So then we finished her consult. Her matter was, her husband was, I think he wanted to leave her, and he was basically saying he's going to take everything. And so she didn't know what her rights were. So she was sitting there re-traumatized, and as it normally happens, the husband had legal representation. So she's saying to me, what do I do? What about my child? Do I lose the house? They had one car. He's obviously going to keep it. And when we went through the options of what she can do, what her rights are, if they're married in community of property, automatically certain things kick in her favor, just from merely explaining that, She started sitting up straight, almost gradually, and then we finished her consult. She walks out and she stops and she looks back and she says, thank you, Sammy. Ukhululo Muyaiwam. And in that moment, I remembered why I do what I do. Mm. And I wanted to hug and say, yes, you too. You have no idea what you've done for me in this moment. You've actually released me. So that's what it means. And that was the context. But I was struggling myself. And that's why when I mentioned that, I always say she has no idea what she did for me. Mm. Because I too was feeling all knotted up, you know, for many reasons.
Sam, let's give out your website. Lady Liberty is part of an organization called CSI
it
Boutique.
It was. Okay. So what I did was, because it's to a large extent been self-funded, I realized that obviously I need to make money. So CSI Boutique was sort of the vehicle for that. And we consult corporate social investment space. And again, same notion, to say to corporates, you have so much money. Instead of ticking a box and throwing a few boxes of condoms and clinics and walking away, not that condoms aren't necessary, but there's so much more that your money could do. So we would look at strategies and budgets and that sort of thing. And that was just a vehicle to provide cash to streamline down to Lady Liberty. But now, because it's taken its own set of legs, it's now a non-profit company. So as I speak, designers are busy literally separating the identity of both CSI Boutique and Lady Liberty.
Are you still involved in CSI?
I am. Is
your husband? Do you have a husband involved?
I do have a husband, yeah.
I saw a similar name. I looked
at
your
website. And you're like, this is not her brother.
Yeah. I was hoping it was, but it's...
Oh, no, it's my husband.
That's good. Excellent.
Yeah,
he's also a high-powered guy.
He is to a very large extent, and he actually is the reason why I'm still sitting here. Just this morning, I was moaning about someone who wasn't calling me back, and he just has a way of reminding me what's important. Yeah. Stay focused, take a break if you need to, but we just sort of have to keep going. So he's a board member at CSI Boutique, and the strategy behind the business. He's the brains behind the business, really. I'm the implementer, and with Lady Liberty as well, he's going to lend some of his skills strategy-wise. But then there's also a separate board, totally separate from CSI. CSI Boutique. So we're working on splitting the two entities.
It's nice for a woman to give her husband credit sometimes. Normally they say, I wear the pants.
I don't want to wear the pants. I'm exhausted already. You know, it's fine.
Okay, so You only help women.
No, I actually had a man call me this morning, Shame. He was quite distressed and highlighted that he saw the article in the Sunday Times, and you know, he noticed that we say we help women. So I said, no. My goal, the focus was women, purely because to a large extent, statistically, the numbers are much higher there. And because the African woman and what I understand, what culture does to her, I think they need us more. Even though we can never isolate working with men, because they're to a large extent not only the perpetrators, but are intrinsically linked to the work and the problems we're trying to solve. So we do help men. We do have men that come to the roadshows, and we never turn anybody away, because I mean, a father who doesn't have access to their child is just as a greater violation of his human right as it would be for a mother who didn't have access to their child. So we focus on the legal issues. We advertise and try and get women out, but we don't chase anyone away. And we have a few male clients.
Yeah, this is Lady Liberty. Lange, you want to say something? You working with Samantha, what's it like?
It has been an eye-opener, I must say.
Oh, I'm worried. Please don't elaborate on that. No, I'm kidding.
No, allowed.
How's Lionel?
I'll tell you after. He can go first.
She is amazing, and I mean, the work that she is doing is just amazing. I mean, we've met a couple of times, and we had meetings after meetings, and had ideas, collaborated, and we started to implement them. And it's just amazing. She's just an honor to work with, and I think she's doing a really, really marvelous job. And South Africa is lucky to have.
No, this is great. You really are. I mean, it goes without saying. Yeah. Anyone going into the townships and helping people, Mahala is doing something wonderful. Absolutely.
Okay.
There are a lot of big law firms that are putting in their pro bono services. Yours is a little special. You kind of go out there and
we're also leveraging off technology quite soon. We're launching a mobile application. That's very exciting. So we got one under Facebook Free Basics, and I'm currently stumped on if anyone's listening from MTN, Cell C, Telkom and Vodacom, please reach out. What we need for this app to do, right, from the millions of rands that are going to be generated from the airtime and the data for our women accessing the app and the men, whoever accesses the platform, we need to discuss a revenue split of sorts, because I don't want to be an organization that's funding dependent. Funders change their strategies all the time. So if they decide that, oh, this, you guys don't fall within our plans for the year, does that mean I have to say to our ladies, oh, it's been great, but I can't reach you. That's not even an option for me. So a revenue generated from the app is just one of the ways that we're going to do it.
Okay, you've got half a minute. Is there anyone you want to thank? It's gone quickly, haven't
you? Yeah, it's
anyone you want to thank that helps sponsor you and helps you along the way?
First of all, thank you, Jesus, because there are just some days that I honestly don't feel equipped to do this work, but then I just draw strength from that belief that he does exist, and it's actually put me on this mission to do this. But secondly, SAB Foundation has been amazing. Yeah. We won a social innovation grant, I think it was last year. Thank you, Bridget, and your team. Red Bull Amapigo has been fantastic. We have access to office space, just basic things that entrepreneurs struggle with in the beginning. And I've gone blank, but also obviously Norton to my Rose. Husband and my parents. Norton Rose has been one of the, in fact, Norton Rose, if I may be honest, has been the only law firm that has genuinely reached out.
Well done, Norton Rose.
Well done, Norton Rose. Liesl Williams has been brilliant.
Excellent. Please tell them to listen to this.
I will tell them. Yeah. They'll love me for this.
Okay, we love you. You're doing something for our people, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Just give your name quickly and your website and whatever.
Samantha Ngolomba, and to save us time, just go to our Facebook page, Lady Liberty SA, inbox us, and we'll get back to you.
Mbonga kakulu, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye,
see you again.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.